Well, it's in the air. We notice things are different. Many people are experiencing a general sense of well-being. Our smiles get a little broader, our laughter gets a little heartier. Time with friends and family feels a little warmer. Greetings to people you may not even know just seem a little friendlier. The joyful anticipation of Christmas has descended, and we are responding to the joy of the season. For so many, this truly is the best time of year. If you are a child or a teacher, it's absolutely the best time of year because you just got out of school, right? All right. The joy is almost tangible this time of year. The question that we need to seriously consider this morning, is this the kind of joy that the Bible talks about? Is this the kind of joy that we celebrate on this third Sunday of Advent? Do we accept that the Bible is interested in joy that seems to be generated by a lot of external circumstances? A lot of us begin to question whether there's a level of authenticity in this Christmas time, this sense of anticipation and feelings of happiness and joy that we experience. Last night, my wife and I had a wonderful date together. We went out for a nice dinner, and then we went off to what my daughter called old people worship. We went to the Amy Grant Michael W. Smith concert. So it was a wonderful night. I could definitely say I felt a lot of joy. So it had all the externals that elicited an internal response to me that made me feel warm and joyful. Our own experiences teach us that our circumstances can and do impact that sense of joy. After all, we truly are students of the Scripture. We can't sit there and say, well, that's not authentic joy. That's not what the Bible describes as joy. Well, David danced with all his might when the ark was brought to Jerusalem. The ark of God brought to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel 6:14. Miriam and the women of Israel singing and dancing because God had delivered them from the armies of Egypt. Exodus 15, 20 and 21. The disciples of Jesus during his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, casting off their cloaks, laying down palm branches, and shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. Luke 19, 36 through 38. Hannah, conceiving Samuel, shouting, extolling God with all her might, rejoicing. 1 Samuel 2:1. See, the Bible actually is very supportive of external circumstances creating this sense of joy. So if you're one of those folks that tries to be a kind of a Grinch at Christmas time, saying, well, then all those external trappings, that's all just commercialism run amok. Now, there's some truth in there. I'm not going to deny we are definitely overly commercializing Christmas. But we're also reminded that if you want to celebrate the day, If you don't, then don't. But Christian brothers and sisters, we support each other in the days we choose to honor and the days we choose not to honor, right? We love each other. The Bible is supportive. After all, it is the history, the redemptive history of God working in the lives of human beings. In the good times, we praise the Lord. Then we have James. He comes along and he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. You're like, oh, man. James, you go and have to make me be joyful in difficult circumstances. Yeah, the Bible does say that too. And Paul, he comes along and says that we rejoice in our sufferings. So Paul really drives the nail in. He said, even in your suffering, rejoice. That's a verb. Act joyfully in your sufferings. Most of us have a pretty good grasp of being joyful at Christmas time and joyful when the externals are going really well. A lot more difficult in trials, tribulations, sufferings to be joyful. So how do we go about this? Is this what we celebrate? Coming back to that second part of the question I asked initially. Is this the kind of joy we celebrate in this Advent season, this third Sunday in which we celebrate joy? Well, frankly, no. We don't celebrate the externals that elicit joy, although that is grounds for celebration, and it is scriptural. But what we celebrate this third Sunday is joy that seems to lean a little closer to the concept that James and Paul are talking about. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask you to open up to the first chapter of Luke. Verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Amen. This passage out of Luke, chapter 1, is also known as the Magnificat. The circumstances and what Mary says provide for us vital information as Christians on what it means to celebrate joyfully in this season of Advent. We oftentimes read the Magnificat and think, wow, you know, Mary, she just got this glorious announcement from her cousin Elizabeth that says, blessed are you among women. But oftentimes we forget, because we see this through the lens of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we see Jesus. But I want you for a moment just to take a real look at the circumstances that Mary was in. Mary was an unwed, pregnant teenage girl in Palestine. Do you think her circumstances were joyful? We often look at the annunciation of the angels and think, wow, what a glorious time this is. This proclamation that God has had mercy on his people and has sent his only son. But I want you to truly think about this. Mary is an exceptionally faithful person. The joy she expresses is in the midst of very difficult circumstances. Do you think everybody around her is like, oh, blessed are you among women? No, they're probably thinking what most of you would be thinking. Okay? Yeah. Sure, your child was conceived by the Holy Spirit, is what most of y'all would be thinking, and I would be too. We can only give thanks to God and understand wholeheartedly why angelic messengers had to be involved in this. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. I'm telling you, I would need to hear from an angel. What angels proclaimed, we know to be true. But Mary's circumstances were far from glamorous. They were far from things that you and I would say, hey, she's in that place where, you know, she's setting up the Christmas tree and she's waiting for the kids to come home and open up the presents on Christmas morning and all that. So that hasn't happened yet. She's a pregnant teenager in Palestine. Not sure of what it all means, but faithful enough to say, let it be done to me. That is her circumstance. And what she says in the midst of those circumstances, that's the kind of joy that we as Christians celebrate. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. And folks, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, what Mary said, that's gospel truth to every single one of us. Let your soul magnify the Lord in whatever circumstance you're in. And then this will immediately follow. And my spirit rejoices. Because I'll tell you what. If you're magnifying the Lord, you're going to be doing that verb that follows that. You're going to be rejoicing. You cannot magnify the Lord and not rejoice. It's just not a possibility. And that is the kind of joy that we have as Christians. Now, I don't want to get overly formulaic here, because we often do that in this day and age. You know, what are the 5 secrets to great and profound joy? Well, these are the 5 things that if you do them, you're guaranteed to be happy all the rest of your life. Right? It makes for great sermons, it makes for great books, all that. But that's just not how it works, okay? Our faith is not formulaic. We don't sit there and do these certain things and we're guaranteed to get this. Because the joy we're talking about is a gift from God. Mary's circumstance is the indication of that. She received our gift. She bore in herself the greatest gift that we have ever received, Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Every believer in Jesus Christ is given joy. That doesn't mean that you get to run around and in all circumstances pretend that bad things aren't happening. I hope you don't. Okay? Your message becomes a little disingenuous if you're living in denial of what's going on around you. Mary wasn't living in denial, she was living in truth. Now, the truth that she was living in was not what other people were thinking. We understand the truth that she was living in because we know the gospel. In this season of Advent, there's a lot of things that can steal joy away. Okay, I'm the first to admit that while these things, externals, I love Christmas time. But it has baggage with it, right? I do not like going into stores in the month of December at all. Not my favorite thing to do. Some people love it, but then there are some people who like a lot of strange things. So, we like to think that time with friends and family is always warm, and it is not. Sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes we only do what we do because, well, we have to. Joy and Christmas are not always synonymous. But that doesn't mean that you don't have joy. Every Christian, every person that proclaims the name of Jesus, every Spirit-filled disciple of Jesus Christ has a kind of joy that Mary expresses here. And as we go through our difficulties, through our tough circumstances, magnify the Lord. If your soul is in the business of keeping God as big as God really is, everything else becomes so ridiculously small. You can't help but rejoice in Him. How can you not think of the wonder of God? And as His creation, not rejoice. It was Jesus' triumphal entry that indicates that. The God of all creation is entering into the city. And as the disciples are praising and proclaiming Hosanna, the curmudgeons come up and they say, hey, whoa, why don't you tell them to tamp that down a little bit. And what does Jesus say? If they don't, the rocks will cry out. That's what creation does, and we are part of His creation. And I know there are times that become very difficult, and Satan likes to grab a hold of us in those moments. And He wants us to magnify those circumstances rather than magnify the Lord. It doesn't mean the circumstances don't exist when we are magnifying the Lord. It means we are able to put things in their proper perspective. and we will rejoice in who he is. Not necessarily praising God. Oh, you know, I'm glad I fell and broke my leg. I'm just so thankful for that. There are some things that we go through that we just can't in reality say, "Wow, I'm so glad that happened." That's not joy. We can be sorrowful and joyful as Christians. We can experience profound grief and the most intense joy at the very same time. But it's all here in what Mary says. It's in magnifying the Lord. This Christmas time, I want to challenge each of you, for whatever Christmas time means to you, to devote these coming days to this simple task. Let your soul magnify the Lord. Spend some time, if you've never done it before, just sit down for 5 minutes, 30 seconds, whatever time that you feel you're able to do in that moment, and just think, meditate on how awesome God is. Lift him up. See who he is. And put this to the test, Christians. See if you do not experience the joy of the Lord in that moment. Put God to the test and see that he is indeed good.